We have speed versus accuracy. If you have accuracy, but you don't do it fast enough, you won't be able to hit your target because they're going to see it coming and they're going to move out of the way. If you have speed and you don't have accuracy, you might be super fast, but you're not going to hit your target. So you need to have speed and you need to have accuracy. And if you have both, you can hit your target before they see it coming, and then you can get out. And being able to strike with speed and accuracy at the right moment is called timing. And those are very important. I wouldn't say they're competing things, but they're important to train together. When you combine all these things, speed, accuracy, timing, strength, and if you have all of those, I think I talked about this before, you're pretty much unstoppable. So speed, accuracy, and timing are really important.
Welcome to the Unlimited You podcast. Believing firmly in the limitless potential that resides within each individual, your host, Master Victor Almeida, a distinguished martial arts expert, is here to guide you in unlocking your inner power. Each episode offers practical knowledge, from strength training techniques to the calming practices of meditation, tailored to enhance your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Join us on this empowering journey and embrace the warrior that lies within you.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Unlimited You, where we're going to talk about accuracy today, how to elevate your accuracy, how to become more accurate in your strikes in martial arts, and why that is even important, because, like, you know, why do we want to be able to hit certain things? I mean, it's obvious for some people, but we're going to talk about a lot of this. The most important thing in being accurate is you're wasting less energy. If I can hit my strike on my first hit, or hit my target on my first strike, then I'm gonna use less energy than if I throw, let's say, like 10 punches and I'm like hitting all over the place and then one of them hits my strike or hits my target. If I throw a punch and every single one of them hits the exact same spot and I'm more accurate and it hits exactly where I want, I'm gonna use less energy, right? So I become more effective at delivering my strikes. And that's critical when you're saving energy. Maybe you can last longer in a self-defense situation and that could end up saving your life. Also, if you're accurate, you leave less chance for a counter-strike. If I throw a punch and I hit you, there's less chance that you'll be able to strike me versus if I miss, you can step to the side, back, or forward and then hit me back. So being accurate is very important. It's extremely important. Because if you don't have accuracy, maybe you hit somebody, you're going for like a body shot and you hit their elbow. Well, maybe that elbow is really hard and you may break something, right? You don't want that. So the fundamentals of accuracy come from developing a technique. So if you're working on your roundhouse kick, you have to first learn the basics of it. How does the roundhouse kick go? Bringing your knee up, pivoting, snapping, and then putting it down. You know, from that, practicing it to the point where you don't have to think about those movements, where it becomes muscle memory. So bringing a technique from understanding it to muscle memory. After that, developing the accuracy is hitting different spots. So I do one low, I do one medium, I do one high, and hitting those exact same spots every time and remembering that feeling. Then you can move on to hitting that exact same spot multiple times. Then maybe doing it in different situations, front leg, back leg, speed, power, and different applications of that technique, doing it as fast as you can and still hitting it, doing it as hard as you can and still hitting it while retaining that good form. Now, targeting drills and practices are critical to developing target, because if I'm just kicking the air and, you know, I'm moving around, my target or everything around me might be shifting and I might be kicking a slight bit higher or lower to the left or to the right. So having something in front of you that you can look at is very critical. Now, it doesn't matter, like, let's say you're sparring and you're going only for body shots, that's still a target, right? Or let's say you're going for headshots, that's still a target. So it could be a hand target, it could be a hand pad, it could be a bag with dots on it or tape on it. It could be a sparring situation where you're trying to kick only the body, you're trying to kick only the head. Maybe you're only using your right foot. That's going to help develop your accuracy. And having a target and practicing hitting that target multiple times. Now, again, I think we said this in the last episode of the flow state. If you practice something until you just get it, that's not good enough. You want to practice it until you can't get it wrong. I'm going to do that roundhouse kick and hit that exact same spot 100, 200, 1,000 times. And that's going to build the confidence and the muscle memory so then I can hit that spot without even looking at it. If you can do it with your eyes closed and hit the bottle off the top of a bag with your eyes closed, perfect. Body mechanics and alignment. So learning how the move starts and what parts of your body need to move in order to get your limbs there, right? So if I'm starting my fighting stance from a Taekwondo fighting stance and I've been practicing with my hands low, and then I keep being reminded to bring my hands up, the starting point keeps changing. So one, the foundational stance, you know, Muay Thai, Taekwondo, learning the foundational stance and keeping your hands and your feet in that starting position allows your body to remember not only how it starts, but how that movement starts as well. And also what muscles to fire. Oftentimes we work on, let's say, like a roundhouse kick, and some people might move the front leg first. When I practice my roundhouse kick with my back leg, I will push off of my back leg like I am sprinting, like I am bringing my knee, trying to knee you in the chest with as much speed as possible. And that teaches my body I need to push with my calf and bring my knee up with my quads and my hip flexor as fast as I can. That's going to build the muscle memory and the mechanics of bringing my knee in a straight line every time. Then I work on the pivot. How does the pivot feel? Is my are my toes turning all the way around? Is my knee forward? Is my hip open? Is my knee pointed towards the target, right? In martial arts, there's a lot of different techniques. Like roundhouse kick, if my knee is pointed that way, my kick's gonna go that way. But if it's pointed towards my target, it's gonna hit that target. So learning what part of your body needs to do what in order to hit that target. And then practicing that over and over again. And this requires mental focus, right? You cannot practice target, you cannot build accuracy without having mental focus. So if I'm looking around all over the place, I'm thinking about what I'm gonna have for dinner, I'm thinking about what happened today, or, you know, I wanna go out with my friends tomorrow. I'm not here, I'm not paying attention to my training. It takes that mental focus. This is where we come back to like a meditation-like state and keeping our eyes where we're striking, right? So when you're developing accuracy, you wanna look at what you're gonna be striking. If I'm gonna be striking the camera, I'm looking at the camera. If I'm gonna be striking this plant, I'm looking at the plant. I'm looking at the exact spot where I'm gonna hit it. And my eyes are locked into that spot. I'm not gonna look away. I'm not gonna be looking over here. I'm looking at that spot. So then I know that my strike, boom, is gonna hit that exact same spot. Good plan, good plan. I'm not gonna hit the plant. But it takes that mental focus. Your eyes direct your target. So if your eyes are moving around, wandering eyes all over the place, you're probably not gonna build that accuracy. But if I focus, I keep my eyes on my target, I put my mind on, I need to bring my knee up, pivot and snap, and I keep my focus on that target, I'm gonna build that accuracy. Every time I'll be able to hit it if I keep that focus up. This brings the focus, the alignment of your focus and your muscle memory together, and it builds your hand-eye or hand-foot coordination, which is really important for accuracy and being able to look at something and then strike that exact same thing. One thing I like to do is like we can throw a tennis ball and then that tennis ball is coming at you. Can you punch it? That tennis ball is coming at you. Can you kick it? Right? And then doing different kicks. Can you do a roundhouse kick? Can you do a tornado kick? Can you do a back kick, a spinning hook kick to it, a jump spinning hook kick to it? Can you jab the ball? Can you jab reverse two balls, right? So in actually bringing those two aspects together, the visualization, that mental and eye focus, and our muscle memory. And they come together to create hand-eye coordination. And hand-eye coordination is very important. It is very transferable. Let's say you play baseball, you're really good at hitting the ball, especially a really fast ball coming at you. Well, let's say you pick up a sword. you're going to be pretty damn good at swinging that sword and hitting it on target because you have that hand-eye coordination. Now, the mechanics of it may be different. Maybe, you know, you hold the bat differently than you hold a sword. Like, you're not going to go up to bat baseball holding the baseball bat like a sword. You're going to be, you know, in a batter swing. So the mechanics of it may be different, but hand-eye coordination or hand-foot coordination is very transferable. People who learn how to control their bodies, for example, in dancing, ballet, gymnastics, they're usually pretty quick to pick up a lot of Taekwondo things because they have that coordination already. And, you know, there's also dynamic and static balance. When we strike, especially with our feet, it requires balance. Can we, one, hold our balance while not moving? Right? Can you hold a roundhouse kick chamber and kick the same target without moving? And then, can I do it at full speed from a fighting stance, bringing my knee up, snap kicking, and landing in front and hit that target every time? Building the dynamic, so while you're moving, and the static balance, you know, that is critically important because when we're striking, we're often moving. And sometimes maybe you do one kick and then you want to do a second one. That works on your static balance. If you don't have balance and you throw a kick, you're probably going to fall down. If you don't have balance and you throw a really powerful punch, what if they grab you and they pull you forward and you're not going to be stable on your feet? Or if you don't have balance when you throw a punch, you might also fall down. That becomes very essential to your self-defense. Staying on your feet, not falling down, keeps you safe, lets you run out and get out of there after you strike. And that's very critical. The balance also allows your body the stability to hit the target. If I bring my knee up and I'm shaking all over the place, it's going to be a lot harder for me to bring my foot to that spot that I need to hit it at. But if I can remain still, stable, and calm while I have my knee up and you have good balance, it's going to be a lot easier for you to hit that target. Way easier. So working on your balance is very critical for your kicking and also your punching accuracy. We can build balance by practicing balance. So practice standing on one foot. Practice hopping on one foot. Practice hopping, going down on roundhouse kick chamber on one foot. Hopping and kicking on roundhouse on one foot. These different exercises help balance. Maybe you can lean forward, lean back, sideways, bring the knee up, out, forward, extend the leg up and down while you're in a roundhouse kick chamber, while you're on one leg, and then switch legs, do it on the other side. That's going to help your balance, and that in turn is going to help your accuracy. And then we have speed versus accuracy. What's the point here, right? If you have accuracy, but you don't do it fast enough, you won't be able to hit your target because they're going to see it coming and they're going to move out of the way. If you have speed and you don't have accuracy, you might be super fast, but you're not going to hit your target. So you need to have speed and you need to have accuracy. And if you have both, you can hit your target before they see it coming and then you can get out. The only other thing that I guess you can throw in there, and we talked about this in a previous episode, is timing and being able to, maybe they bring down their hand in training, as soon as they bring down the hand, you strike them, right? And being able to strike with speed and accuracy at the right moment is called timing. And those are very important. I wouldn't say they're competing things, but they're important to train together. And you train them separately, where we're training speed, and we're gonna have a whole episode on this because speed is serious. If you're fast and you can get in there, strike 1, 2, 3 and get out before they can even respond, like what are they gonna do? Somebody who's really fast is really hard to handle. And you can have like a big hulky bulk person who's slow, and if you got speed, they won't be able to touch you. It's dangerous when you combine all these things: speed, accuracy, timing, strength. And if you have all of those, I think I talked about this before, you're pretty much unstoppable. So speed, accuracy, and timing are really important. And through doing these drills, through doing the calisthenics, you're gonna build strength. You're gonna build strength. And when you work on accuracy, I guess back to speed, when you work on speed, you're working on fast twitch muscles, making your muscles fire faster. And the more you do it, the faster you get. Same with accuracy. You're working on hitting that target. First, you do it slow. Can I do a roundhouse kick in slow motion and hit that target. It's going to be a lot easier than if you do it fast. Then, can I do it a little bit faster? And you start increasing the speed. So then your accuracy and your speed are combined and you can hit something no matter how fast you're going at full 100% speed, I can hit my target. But you need to practice first slow. I always say practice something slow, unless it is a fast kick or unless it is a fast double, because you have to do those two fast. You can't really do those kicks slow. So then you go back to a roundhouse kick and you work on your roundhouse kick accuracy and you practice doing it slow. You do it slow, you do it smooth. Once it's smooth, you can become fast, and fast is good. And this is a saying that's said across a lot of different disciplines. And you don't want to go to doing it full speed at first because your kicks are going to be going everywhere. So slow, develop the accuracy, and once you feel it, oh, I got this, then just increase the speed a little bit. Oh, I still got this. I still got this. I didn't miss the last 10 times. Speed it up a little bit more. Keep cranking the speed the more you get it right. And then let's say you miss. Crank the speed back just a little bit and get that lower speed to hit that exact same spot over and over again, and then crank it back up. Be patient with yourself when you're developing accuracy. You're gonna suck at first. That's just how it is, because you're developing hand-eye coordination, you're developing muscle memory, you're developing body and mental focus, and it doesn't happen overnight. You're not gonna become Superman or Superwoman or Superperson overnight. You're gonna become that human slowly over time through intense, very intense and like intentional training. And if you don't have that intention to become fast, it's hard work. If you don't have that intention to become accurate, it's hard work and you're probably not going to get there. So it takes a lot of willpower. Am I willing to put in the work to then receive this goal, this gift that is accuracy, that is speed?
At Farah Academy, we believe every person has unlimited potential waiting to be unleashed. Join our academy and discover your inner power through disciplines like Taekwondo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, martial arts weapons, and more. Our experienced instructors empower you with the skills, strength, and wisdom to become an unstoppable warrior. Train in a focused, inclusive environment where you'll progress quickly. Learn meditation, nutrition, and breathing techniques to develop a balanced body, mind, and spirit. Uncover your true potential and prepare for life's challenges at Farah Academy. Start your journey. Visit FarahAcademy.com today.
Another thing that we can talk about is footwork and positioning. And this comes back to creating a strong foundation in your fighting stance. Let's say, like, so our Taekwondo fighting stance, our feet are faced to the side. So if I'm facing you, my feet would be sideways. Now, karate, sometimes you turn forward more, and then you go to Muay Thai, the feet are fully forward. And when we're, our footwork in the position that everything starts in is critical. If you are training a good fighting stance from the get-go and your foot is in the right position, your body will remember exactly where it needs to go. And then when it comes time to actually deliver it, you don't have to think about it. If your feet are in the wrong position, let's say I have my back foot, it's a little bit further back and I go to bring it around on a roundhouse kick, it's gonna change the position of my hips, of my shoulders, and that's gonna compromise the technique, right? So the foundation becomes your stance and your footwork and your movement. Can I also use my steps? Can I slide in and then throw my kick while maintaining that stance? Can I lunge? Can I jump and land in my stance? Can I throw a technique and land back in that stance as well? Retaining that self-defense aspect with the hands up so that you stay protected, right? So after every technique, are you landing back in your foundational stance? Are you moving and staying in that foundational stance? That is very critical in developing your accuracy. What I see, and this is a big hurdle for everybody, I haven't seen a single person not do this. I used to do this. I don't do it now because I practiced it enough. But after you kick or after you punch or throw a strike, your fighting stance changes. You either kick, let's say you're starting here, you kick and you might land super long, or you kick and you might land super short and then your feet are together. Well, if your feet are together, you're standing, you're gonna fall a lot easier. If you kick and you land super wide, your legs are going to be more extended. You won't be able to move as easy, and you're going to be not as stable. So that stance, the footwork, the position of your feet, and the position of your body become critical to establishing that muscle memory and then hitting that accuracy. Another example, let's say our back foot is a little bit forward and we're going to do a back kick. That means turning and then sending your kick out the back. If your foot's a little bit forward and you turn, you're going to be off balance. You might sprain your knee a little bit. So the position that your body's in is very critical. And then hand-eye foot coordination, I guess we already talked a little bit about this, but that becomes some of the most important things to develop in your accuracy. So you're developing your ability to punch and kick one spot over and over again. Now, when we train Taekwondo, we train punching right here at the sternum, and you can feel this spot in your chest. There's no muscle there. It's just cartilage. It's very dangerous to be stricken here. And that is where we practice our punch. Our every single punch is aimed at the sternum. That is the basic Taekwondo punch. So when I do a jab, it's going to be to your face to get you distracted. And then I'm going to, boom, sternum punch. Very dangerous because it can stop someone's heart. Don't recommend anybody do this unless you're in a very life or death situation. And it's not safe. I don't punch anybody there in a sparring session. Usually we have a lot of gear to protect ourselves from these specific spots in our body. So developing that coordination is critical. I do another drill where you might be on your knees and you're punching the ground in front of you and hitting the ground, you will see two knuckle marks building up on the floor. When you throw the other punch, it should hit those exact two knuckle marks. If they do, then you can keep doing it over and over again, a few hundred times, you're going to develop that accuracy, right? So that develops your coordination that then translates to you being able to hit a target at any point in time. And developing that coordination is really important. And you can't just do it for one technique. So if I want to become accurate, I want to practice the accuracy of every single kick I do, of every single punch I do, my roundhouse kick, my back kick, my side kick. I could list all the different kicks. I want to work on every single one of those. The kick I don't practice my accuracy in, I'm not going to be as good as utilizing and performing that under a stressful situation. So again, remember, what you practice is what you do. Practice doesn't make perfect. It doesn't. Practice makes permanent. What I practice is what I do. So how I am in practice, if I'm like half-assing, if I'm like giving 50% and I go to defend myself, guess what? I'm only going to be used to giving 50%. And then I'm probably going to overexert my strength, which is going to compromise my accuracy, which is going to slow down my speed. If I practice at 100% with my mind, with my body, and I give everything I got in practice, that is going to be what I'm used to doing. And then when I give my full punch speed, I'm going to be calmer. I'm not going to be as stressed out. My muscles aren't going to be clenching, and I'll be able to hit that target. So practicing and making that muscle memory and staying calm, and I know sometimes it can sound like I'm a broken record because I'm always talking about these things and how they all correlate with each other, but it's the truth. Like, they all help each other. So if I practice at 100% in practice with my mind, with my body, I give my, you know, when we're practicing speed, I give it 100%. When practicing accuracy, my mind is fully there. And, you know, I'm not looking around. I'm not slacking off. I'm going to build that habit in being able to perform that way when I actually need it to happen. One of the, like, I'm always kind of stressing these different aspects of training where, you know, you got to focus your mind, you got to do all this stuff. And it may sound like a broken record, but like, they're really important to work on together. Like, you can't practice speed without giving it all. You have to push yourself 100%. Like, you're going to only get faster by going as fast as you can. You're only going to improve your focus by focusing, which is, it's like, it sounds weird, but it's true. Like, you have to focus to become better at focus. You're only going to improve your accuracy by focusing your eyes and developing your hand and foot eye coordination, right? In trying it over and over again and improving your technique and being increasing your awareness of your body. And through the progression, you become better. Now, you have to accept that at first, you're going to suck. Like, I used to suck. Like, everybody, when they started, sucked. Like, Everybody started at ground zero. It is very rare to find somebody who's just like exceptionally good at everything. I've had maybe like 2 students. They all sucked at first, but like they learned faster than the others, and they all sometimes hit a plateau of ego and they thought they were good enough and they kind of like slacked off in their training. And then the other people who weren't as good surpassed them because of their willpower. It's like all of these things come into play. You know, can you push yourself through your speed? Can you focus your mind? Can you be calm? Can you persevere through the hardship? Because training is very hard on the body. Your body gets pushed to the limits of strength, of physical exertion. You might get lightheaded. You might get dizzy. These are normal things that we need to experience to learn what our limits are. If you never push the limits of your speed, how do you expect to get faster? If you don't push your physical exertion until you almost get to the point where you collapse, how do you know where the line of I can't push it anymore is going to be? Now, there is a safe way to do this that you will not get hurt. And that is where having an instructor and a coach is critical. Because if you do this stuff and you don't know what you're doing on your own, you can severely hurt yourself. And I want to reiterate that point. If you do this stuff and you don't know what you're doing and you push yourself to the limits, you will most likely get hurt. So this is where having a coach, going to a school and learning how to do this from somebody who has done it and put themselves through the tests of their own selves is gonna help you. And that's what this is all about. We have practiced, we have trained ourselves. The martial arts masters of the world have gone through the ringer, and they have attained a certain level of technique and ability that is not attainable by the normal person because of what they've gone through. So in order to get there, if you want to get there, you have to do all this stuff. And that stuff, it's not like it's gatekeeping techniques. It is literally you have to do this to transform your body, your mind into what you want it to be. And that's what this is really about. We are unlocking the potential of ourselves through a scientific method that is proven through thousands of years that if you do this, this will happen. It is not like it's not an opinion. This is a fact. If you train this way, you will get here. If you give up, you'll only get there. If you keep going, I don't care how hard, how long it takes, you're gonna get there. Now, some restrictions may be like everybody's body's different. You may have some like hip immobilities that you need to work on. Some people may be a little bit older and it may take longer for them to get there. But I've rarely hit the case of somebody who is willing to do it, who can attain a certain goal. I've even come across students whose hips were completely tight. They couldn't even like stand with their legs partially far apart. And over time, through, you know, being able to calm themselves, to being aware of what's happening, they were able to get to the splits. They were able to do that roundhouse kick without compromising their body position. They were able to learn the steps. They got their black belt. And it takes time. We have to be patient with ourselves. You don't want to be hard on yourself. Now, there's a difference between a drive to want to succeed and being hard on yourself. If I fail, I'm going to say, great, I know I failed. I know how to not do it. I know where either my limit is, and I'm going to learn from that. And that's the attitude it takes to go forward in almost anything. But if you're sitting there and you fail and you're like, I suck, I'm never doing this again. Well, you probably suck and you're never doing it again because you just told yourself that. I think I said this earlier. So be kind to yourself in your training. How you are with yourself dictates how you are with everybody else. So be kind with you. Feel the calmness inside of you. Find that calmness, find that perseverance. And through training, if you don't have it, through training, you're gonna find it. That's why you come to martial arts training, because you're gonna learn how to be calm. You're gonna learn how to push yourself. And if you don't, I'm gonna push it, or your teacher's gonna push you. I guarantee you, if you're at a good school and you can do like 5 push-ups, you give it a few months, and if you're being pushed enough, and if you are willing to give it your all, you will progress. I've had a kid who can only do like 5 push-ups. A year later, he's up to like 50 push-ups in a year. That is incredible. So don't limit yourself by your thoughts. Detach from it and know and tell yourself, I can do it if I put my mind to it, and you can achieve anything. you can unlock yourself. You can remove that wall. You can unlimit yourself, because we are unlimited if we allow ourselves to be. Hope you all enjoyed. Again, follow, like, subscribe, go to our website, farahacademy.com, and look out for the next episode of The Unlimited You.
Thank you for joining Victor and Andy on The Unlimited You. Make sure to visit our website, www.farahacademy.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode.